In 1953, Michael Redgrave gave a definitive performance as the ageing monarch, and now, just over 50 years later, his son, Corin Redgrave, has set himself the same challenge. As mentioned earlier, this is a Lear very much afraid of his feminine side, but equally he is very in touch with his inner child. His infantilism initially manifests itself in a self-indulgent humour, but gradually it goes on to inform his psychological cruelty and his ultimate decline. Heather, Ben Alexander's production is set in the, well, mainly in the 1930s. We can go on to discuss variations later. But it begins with a minutely observed scene at a dinner table where the faces of the prime villains of the piece, Regan, Goneril and the Duke of Cornwall, are picked out one at a time by the light, so it's that the heads seem to hover momentarily in the dark. I actually liked this opening, but did you feel that the production went on to deliver the goods afterwards?
No, I liked the opening very much as well, but I didn't like the rest of it as much as the opening. Although I'm interested to hear that you think it was set in the 1930s, because I rather thought it was possibly Edwardian.
That's certainly what I thought as well.
But with very medieval bits and pieces, so that the duel at the end. I mean, this was one of those occasions when you think this is, you know that the director has said this is set in the world of the play, and you think there's no such thing as the world of the play, because we're in the world, and it's got to relate to something in particular, and here he seemed to take bits and pieces from wherever he wanted them for any particular scene, because the castles, the sets seemed to be more or less medieval with rough wooden furniture. Some of the clothing was quite elaborate, but then we got a very medieval duel scene at the end with armour and broadswords. I found that quite distracting. I do like some kind of consistency, I must say, and that was the case with quite a lot of the rest of the production. I felt that it was Corin Redgrave's evening, and the fact, whether you liked him or not as Lear, everything was about his performance, and at the end, the way the cast applauded him at the end seemed to underline that.
David, and what did you think of Corin Redgrave's almost childlike approach?
Something happened to Corin Redgrave, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. I have no idea whether it was the death of his father, the death of the WRP, the fact that he was no longer young. But something happened and his acting completely changed. He was a perfectly all right actor, and I suspect a slightly frustrated actor. But at some point, it stopped, and he started giving really assured, confident, strong performances. And basically, although I didn't see Macbeth he did at Battersea Arts Centre, which apparently was not good, I've not seen him be bad in about 15 years, and I've seen him be extraordinarily good. He's fantastic in Roger Michell's film of Persuasion, playing Sir Walter. So I went with really high hopes, particularly because he's married in this production to Bill Alexander, a really fine Shakespeare director, and I have to say I was deeply disappointed both by Corin and the production as a whole. There's clearly been an awful lot of discussions going on between actor and director about the conception of the role and the detail of the role, but I don't think anyone, particularly Bill Alexander, have decided what the play is about. You don't have to, as a director, have a governing idea that you relentlessly pull through every single scene of the play, but you do have to have some kind of controlling vision, and as Heather says, I think that they've tried to go for this spurious world of the play, and actually you've ended up with a blur, because you've got medievalism and an Edwardianism in the costume design. You've got this whole kind of mix of stuff. It's as if each scene has come along and they've mined it for the detail and they've decided what it's about, but they haven't actually decided where that scene is going in the grand scheme of things or where the play is going, so the audience is unable to read it.
So we're emerging with a consensus, Charlie, that this is some kind of stylistic mishmash. I mean, did you perceive more of a conceptual backbone?
Not at all. I mean, the production is a bloody mess, and the performance is... it's so ludicrously detailed. I mean, every speech has a hand gesture. There's this endless vocal mannerisms. There's the sort of sardonic laugh. There's the little schoolboy giggles. It's all overplayed. And at the end of the day, Lear must, you must find a man there, but he also needs to be something monumental, and there is nothing monumental. There's very little grandeur in this performance, and apart from, what's sort of heartbreaking about it is actually when he stops all this fussiness, it's the fussiness of the performance that really got me down. There are sudden moments where he plays it very gently, when he's gentle, at the moment when he says, "I did her wrong," registered beautifully. His scene with Cordelia, though slightly spoiled by Cordelia herself, who's given a very sort of harsh and busy performance, but his confusion as the old man when he wakes up from his madness is beautifully done, I think. But they're little glimmers, these, but there's no actual sense of a through thinking of the role, and I think, like many people, I regard King Lear not as my favourite Shakespeare play, but almost certainly the greatest Shakespeare play, and also the one that can move you the most profoundly. And I came away from this feeling nothing but a sore bum, really. And it's worth saying, the 4-hour running time is ludicrously long, and it's only so long because he puts it in scenes that are normally cut for very good reasons.
I feel that one of the most interesting relationships in the play is always that between Edgar and Edmund. Matthew Rhys plays the latter with an urbane sardonicism, but by contrast, Palarin's Edgar is a plump, bookish schoolboy who looks like he's been born to be bullied. Heather, did their relationship work at all for you?
Well, Edgar had to go on a longer journey than perhaps one normally expects him to, even longer. I mean, he has to change from someone who looks as if he's scarcely ever looked up at anyone else out of his library, and then he obviously has to do the deed at the end and kill his brother. I thought actually that he did it quite well. I quite liked the Edgar. I wasn't so keen on Edmund. I thought Matthew Rhys was fairly bland as Edmund, and so there wasn't so much of a chance for a relationship between them. But to go back to Corin Redgrave, I would like to put in a word for him, because I think he's brought out things in the part which are unusual, but quite revealing. The horrible bullying of the jokey person who had completely misunderstood the psychology of his children, let alone of himself, is, I think, quite interesting, and gives him an interesting relationship with his fool, who is a sort of benign version of his master, the horrible joker and the truth-telling, but kindly, in this case, Caribbean fool, played by Leo Ringer, who sadly hands over his jester's wand, presumably about to go off and to commit suicide as he leaves the stage for the last time. I thought he had a certain pathos.
I have to radically disagree with you there. I really couldn't bear Leo Ringer's performance. It may not be, in fact, I don't think it's entirely his fault, with a perfectly able actor, but I just thought that it was misconceived. It didn't fit in with the production in any way that I could understand. I couldn't see why, you know, of course you can cast black actors, I have absolutely no problem with that. Why was he doing Caribbean dialect? Why not just go, right, Leo Ringer, you're in it, no one's going to bother worrying about where you come from, let's just get on with the play. I didn't see what that added, but then I thought that was symptomatic of sort of the whole problem. I mean, this is a play, famously, that you need 8 leads for. You need Edgar, Edmund, the fool, the sisters, and not to mention Kent and Gloucester. All those people have to be good, and nobody seemed to fit in, because there was, you know, I'm not saying we have to have a concept, but there just didn't seem to be a tone. So you got people being completely isolate. They were kind of doing individual performances that didn't add up. I thought Ruth Gemmell, I don't know how you pronounce her name, forgive me, was a rather impressive Regan. It's a really good part, and she was very, very good.
What about Emily Raymond as Goneril?
I thought that she didn't seize her opportunities, but nobody really could. The set had no atmosphere, the production has no tone, nobody quite knows what it is that they can harness themselves onto. This production has no momentum.
I think that's just about covered it. But Charlie, is there anything else you'd like to throw in?
I'd just add that I saw this production in Stratford, and it was John Normington who played the fool then, and he was brilliant. And he played it as a very sad, very old music hall artist. Now, it seems to me that was a lovely production, a lovely concept of the role, and it worked beautifully. Then something, they bring in Leo Ringer, and you get what, if you'll forgive the phrase, he was a sort of like a nigger minstrel. And it was absurd, and no one had thought that at changing the fool might change the rest of the play. And it was just typical of this production, which is the RSC at its worst, when it basically just seems to be doing the play because it's got its time to do King Lear again, yeah. But no one has got any great passion or insight into it, and it's just one of yet another production coming off the production line.